Off the ball. Rugby.
And I know Connacht fans, who I talked to, it's great to see Connacht playing really well and throwing the ball around, but like, they want to see them winning matches and winning tight matches.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The League of Ireland pod
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
You are very welcome to this week's League of Ireland pod here on Off the Ball. It is Stephen Doyle back with you. Another exciting week of League, Cup and European action for the League of Ireland clubs. To discuss it all, I'm delighted as ever to be joined by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn. The League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. Before we talk football, lads, Nathan Murphy, our co-presenter, has decided to up sticks and leave Off the Ball. He's presented his last ever pod. Very sad news for us. Vinny, it took just 7 months for you to break, Nathan. He's had enough and he's out the building. Well, he's not out the building. He's going to be working for Today FM. So.
I don't think he was that good anyway. I don't think he was that good anyway, to be honest with you. So Cameron has done a better job over the last few weeks than the Perius. The question is, Vinny,
without his number two, will he survive in the big bad world? I don't think so.
There you go. Anyway, on that bombshell, listen, do you know something I will say to Nathan? He's been brilliant to work with in Off the Ball over the years. And like myself, a big, big supporter of domestic football here in the country. He's done an awful lot to promote it. And the pod has been great. It's great having him. So it's going to be myself, really, throughout the season. Good old Cameron Hill will be there as well. I'm sure we'll dip in and out as he does great work as well on the Friday nights on the phone-in show on X.
You know, on a serious note... Sorry, Steve, on a serious note, I think it's important to say that, you know what, League of Ireland, me and Gareth are sort of League of Ireland people, for want of a better word, because we played and coached for years, but it's always got great press from the Irish press, to be fair. Like, whether it was back in the day, the Star, the Sun, the Mirror, all those sort of local journalists done a brilliant job. I know it's easy now, but Nathan's one of them that, to be fair to him, he's backed the game, hasn't he? And he's given it the exposure it's needed. I know he was part of, there's others involved, obviously, to push for sort of the League of Ireland games on a Friday. And as much as players and everybody's played a part in it, so have a lot of the media. And News Talk has kept it sort of part in that, in terms of, easy for me to say because I work for News Talk in that sense, but with the podcast, with the live games, Thursday night games, live games, and the general discussion on the station. And I know Nathan was a big part of that. And I'd like to think it won't suffer as a result of it, but it's certainly not any stronger with leaving them. It'd be a big loss to League of Ireland football and the coverage he gets, to be fair to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure he'll be still going to matches week in, week out, like the rest of us. So best of luck to Nathan anyway in his new gig. And we'll move on. So lads, Saturday night, we had Sligo Rovers beating St Patrick's Athletic by a goal to nil at the Showgrounds. On Friday, it was Drogheda United 1, Derry City 1, Galway United 2, Cork City 1, Shelburne 2, Waterford 1, and then Shamrock Rovers 2, Bohemians 1. It really was another fascinating weekend, and it leaves the league table in just an incredible position as we go into the last few games of the season. I'm just trying to pull my table up here, which I had opened there a moment ago. So yes, we've got, of course, Shamrock Rovers at the top, and of course, champions now, it does look like, bar any incredible goal difference changes there, but they are essentially champions. They were celebrating, and rightly so. They had a night off. I think the players were able to go out and celebrate after clinching that title against Bohemians. There are rivals on Friday night. So you've got Rovers on 63 points. Then behind them, Derry City in second place on 51. Bohemians third place on 50 points. Drogheda United on 47. Just behind them on 46 at St. Pat's. And with a game in hand behind St. Pat's, also on 46 points, you've got Shelburne. Sligo Rovers putting a bit of distance between themselves and Galway and Waterford there on 37 in 7th position, and then Galway and Waterford on 34 points each, but Galway United having a better goal difference. Cork City at the bottom on 23 points. So it does make for a fascinating couple of weeks coming up. Let's just focus on Rovers first though, lads. And even before Rovers, the derby itself, the Dublin derby on Friday night, I've spoken to a good few people. I was there myself as a supporter, so I want to get your views on it, lads. There's a lot of praise for the atmosphere, the setting of the game. Obviously, Tallaght Stadium, it was a sellout game. You had brilliant contributions from the two sets of ultras on either side. A great game of football as well. Technically, some brilliant football played. Three brilliant goals. Gareth, as a complete neutral yourself, what did you make of the derby?
Unbelievable. Now, I didn't see it, but I did see the highlights. It was unbelievable. What about the goals, the quality on view in the pitch? Again, the league table doesn't lie. The two best teams right now, Derry are in there as well. You saw that on Friday night. Everything that's good about the league. Young, athletic, talented footballers. And you know what as well? It was the styles that made the game. And that's got to give great credit to both managers. Both managers were going for the game. There was none of this nonsense, park the bus or defend for your lives. It was confidence from both managers just going at it like a basketball match. Some of the goals were incredible. Some of the play, some of the link-up play, the talent on show was great to watch. And essentially, that's the advertisement that we need for League of Ireland. If we can replicate that week in, week out, the stadium, the advertising, the quality, the types of goals, and not only in Tallaght, all over the league on Friday night, the goals were incredible. I couldn't believe it when I was watching the highlights. Every match you turned on, there was a piece of magic. And that's what we want. We want goals. We want excitement. We want to get people off their seats. But brilliant game. I mean, there's a whole lot of players you can pick out in the game. But in general, fantastic watching.
Yeah, Vinny, obviously the game was carried live on Off the Ball on News Talk Friday night. Brilliant stuff there from Jonathan Higgins, obviously the league commentator. And I was there myself, as I said, as a supporter. It just felt like a really brilliant atmosphere. And right through the game, neither set of fans, there was no let up from either set of fans. And then you think about the fact that Virgin Media broadcast the game on TV. There's a lot of pubs and clubs around the country now will have the game on a Friday night. And as Gareth says, we don't really talk too much now these days about great advertisement for the league, because the league is great. It does need advertising, but to a certain extent it does. And games like this really do put the league at the forefront of people's mind if you're a casual football fan around the country.
Yeah, I thought it was, it's funny, the Ballsderry game about 3 weeks ago, was probably the best game I've seen in the last 15, 20 years. Was it the best game for quality? No. But it was one of the best games I've seen in the last, honestly, 10, 15 years in terms of what it had. It had a bit of quality, had loads of goals, had it all. It was a brilliant advertisement for the league. The game on Friday, I compare it to, if you remember that game, Dundalk and Rovers in about 2021, it was 3-2 to Rovers, Jack Bourne got a brilliant goal. For me, that was like the best standard I've seen in the last 10, 15 years, to start at 2020, I think it was. And I'm not sure, we've had games that have been more exciting than that, I touched on that one. But when I look at Balls and Rovers today, that was very close, if not better, to a par of that level of standard. So if you're a neutral, which I am, watching that game, I'm looking at them two teams going, well, both of them are there, thereabouts where they need to be. You could pick holes in both of them tactically and different things, but the standard, the quality of player on the pitch for both teams, the facilities, the way it was carried, everything about it was a level above what we've had before in League of Ireland for a long time, in terms of the overall product that produced on the pitch. I have to say, it was absolutely outstanding. Big calls by the referee as well. Some right, some wrong. Tactically, as Gareth said, the managers got it right. They went for it. I pick holes in one or two small things. But as a product, you have to say, it was absolutely outstanding. And the quality of the goals, you have to give huge credit to Shamrock Rovers, the people who put that stadium on for them. They obviously do a huge amount of it, but the council deserve huge credit as well. And as you said, the amount of people that have stopped me and who watched the game over the weekend on Virgin is far and away, it has reached another level beyond just League of Ireland fans. It's gone to another level, and a huge kudos to everybody involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very interested in Gareth's list of players. I'll come back to that now in a moment. Just first, Vinny, on the champions, Shamrock Rovers, Stephen Bradley, the head coach. He's doing incredible work over the last couple of years, especially, you know, bouncing back from last season's last day, a title defeat to Shelburne. I never like comparing separate clubs who have, you know, become champions over a couple of seasons, whatever. You know, Cork City back in the day, great champions. Your own Dundalk, brilliant champions. But just as a man who's managed a league-winning team and coached a league-winning team, among the Stephen Bradley teams, Shamrock Rovers, that have won the title, and I know there hasn't been maybe a huge amount of change over the last couple of years. There's been a bit of rotation, and, you know, I suppose there's a couple of different players in that current squad. Where does this current Stephen Bradley Shamrock Rovers squad rank among the ones he's had previously that have won league titles?
I think the biggest challenge for this group is I'm not sure they've been challenged enough. And I think they could be better if somebody came along and challenged them. The amount of games that Derry and Rovers or Bowles have lost is incredible when you think about it, second best and third best teams as it stands now. I think people will say Europe is a huge kudos to them in terms of what they've done and the manner they've done it. Not the champions route, which deserves huge credit for. I think how big and good this team is compared to, I think, the team that won the first league title under Bradley. When you think of Aaron McNiff, peak Jack Bourne, Ronan Finn is probably better, but I think that team was further down the line. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think this team has the potential. I think they'll win the league title this year. They'll win the Champions route, and I think they will be minimum Conference League. I think there's an outside chance of this group being able to go after a proper Europa League group stage. So I think how good this team is, I think they're on the journey to be one of the great teams. I think they're almost there. I think that team that won the league title back, as I said, 2 years ago, is probably slightly ahead of them, but so hard to compare eras. I think people think just because they're qualifying for group stages makes them ahead. I'm not sure about that, because it is certainly easier, but they've done it the hard route. So Danny Grant's a great example. Woody got into the team in 2020, maybe not, but you know what? He's now becoming a player and he's almost at the level where you'll go, actually, he will. Mm. He actually will. And there are a lot of players. Healy is now becoming, you know, a standalone player of one of the greats. So Danny Grant's on that pathway. Hoonahan, a fullback, has certainly now done that over the last 6 months. So there's a lot of these guys now making a case of how good they are and as the great teams. But it's an absolutely remarkable achievement. And I'd like to see them win the double up. I hope they do this year. That's what I'd like to see. And I grew up a Pats fan, but I'd like to see them do a double. I think it cements the greatest stature. And I don't like comparing eras, because the 2006 Shells team, obviously outstanding. There was a brilliant Cork team in the middle of that. And there was a Dundalk team who were 30 minutes away from group stage Champions League football, bar an odd goal here. So there's three or four teams the last 20 years that are as good as each other, and I don't think you can compare them.
Yeah, Gareth, your views on that Shamrock Rovers team, because you're talking about a list of players there. Like, there's definitely been a good few standouts for Shamrock Rovers. You could be here all day, I suppose, going through each player individually, but there has been a couple of standout performances over the season, hasn't there?
Yeah, you're thinking about player of the year and team of the year. There's going to be a lot of green and white on there. But the big thing and the big challenge for Stephen Bradley at the beginning of the year was taking down the age profile of the team. And that's not easy in the current market. It's expensive, and you've got to have done your homework, and he's done it unbelievably well. Think about the players, the Ferrugias that they've lost, the speed, the pace, the directness that he bought them so much. And he occupied a lot of the opposition team as well when he's playing. It literally takes two players to look after him. But he's brought on Healy. Gary O'Neill, we thought, was the standout last year. We thought he's at the peak of his powers. No mercy. Brought Healy in, much a better player, younger player. a little bit more forward thinking, whereas O'Neill would be more stopping the opposition. Brought him in, Mandrew brought him back, and he thought, oh, how's this going to work with Burr, with McAnuff there, Byrne there, and with Burke there? It's a lot of players for that one position. But again, that's what worked out really well. Danny Grant and Honohan are two that I would say. Stephen Bradley and his recruitment team and the scouts or whoever he uses, they saw two players that were playing for Bowes and Cork respectively, good players, but they could see that they had levels. And Danny Grant's proved it. I didn't see it in Danny Grant. I did see it in Hoonahan. I believe, and I said this on the podcast a number of times, Hoonahan to me is one of the only players that could go up levels and could go to England and could star and could have a real, real good career for himself. So I don't know how they're going to hold on, how long they're going to hold on to him. Now, missing Lee Grace, you wouldn't even have realised. Lee Grace to me at the tail end of last year, the last 6 or 7 games, was the best defender in the league. He was unbelievable. They came up to Brandywell, saw him in Tala live, incredible performances. Again, Corey O'Sullivan through the academy, brought him up, and it looks seamless. But you can go through a whole lot of them. Then you've got the experience of Gaffney just throwing on there as well. What a season he's had. Big goals at big moments. And then the defensive unit, to me, that's the platform that they've always built on. You had Lopez, Cleary, and Grace, and then you were looking for the goalkeeper in McGinty. I'm still not 100% on McGinty, I'll be honest with you. I've seen him enough for Sligo and enough for Rovers recently. I think there's a bit more developing on him to be a Manus, but full of quality. And then you look at the bench, we're not even going through that. Mm. I mean, the talk of Rovers now playing the games the rest of the season with me, a few fringe players, still quality.
Gareth, like Roberto Lopez as well, like he's a player that, you know, we barely mention him because it's just taken for granted that he's going to be brilliant right throughout the season. You would have had concerns because of his international duties with Cape Verde. Would it be fair to say that they mightn't have won the title already, even if at all, without Roberto Lopez in that team?
Yeah, I mean, I trained with Roberto in 2010, and he was only a whippersnapper. He was only a kid at Bowes when he was coming through.
Defensive and mid back then, wasn't he as well? More defensive midfielder, yeah.
He kicked me a few times trying to impress Pat Finnan, the manager. But he, you could see in him, and he didn't have immense quality like a couple of the other players that were coming through the academy that trained with us every now and again. But he had a serious amount of discipline, drive, and passion to be a footballer. And you always hear people who have got kids, or if there's any younger kids listening, generally, when you're coming through the academies, it's not the most talented players that end up making a career out of football. It's the ones just below that who have the need and the drive to go and do it. And he was one of them. I mean, what a career that man has, and it's still going. International football, league titles, left, right, and centre. Amazing injury record as well. Amazing injury record. And that's down to his dedication off the pitch. Incredible example. And I can imagine every kid and the Shamrock Rovers Academy looks up to him, which is great. What a role model.
Yeah, I'd say Corey O'Sullivan certainly enjoyed playing alongside him this season. Vinny, like, he was only 18 at the start of the season. I remember, was it the second round of matches, we covered the game away to Drogheda United, and I thought, ooh, this Corey O'Sullivan fella looks the business. He's gone on to play, he's made 22 appearances this season. That's pretty phenomenal. And I just wonder, Vinny, as well, does it speak to maybe the growth and confidence of the head coach, Stephen Bradley? Because, you know, I suppose he might have got a bit of criticism a few years back for not using players from the academy. I just wonder, does the confidence of becoming a better and better manager as he has over the years, does that help with him bringing to those young players? Or do you think it's just a case of they have a better standard of young player coming through now?
I think it's a mixture of the two of them things. It's also like now that Rovers have sorted out their academy, and they'll have ups and downs. They'll have some years where they're not that strong at certain age groups, and other years they are. And that's always been the way in sort of local Dublin football, and every part of that, where even 20 years, 30 years ago, great Cherry Orchard team, and then it might be a great Home Farm, Belvedere, etc. Right, so they'll do okay at that. I think the important point in all of that is that I think at the moment, league race is a loss to the team. Mm. But Corey O'Sullivan certainly won't let them down in that sense. And the big difference is he's coming into a team and Bradley's able to do this in a position of strength. So it's good for the player, and the player must have the natural ability to seize that moment. And O'Sullivan does that. I wonder, will we see him play certain stages wing-back as well, and just to sort of give Josh Hinman a bit of a break. I think he can play in that position, no problem to him, depending obviously on the injury to Lee Grace. But being a good player and going into that team, it's going to make you better. It's going to make you a better player. It's going to your levels will just go up and up and up. So I'm reluctant to use the word it's easy. It's easier to drop players in when you're in such a position of strength and you're going into a top team. Would Corey Sullivan look as good if he was dropped into Waterford? No, but he still has that natural ability to kick on, and he sees the moment whenever it's been thrown at him, and you have to give him huge credit for that. Bradley and everybody at Rovers, I mean, he's won a lot of young players that are developing nicely at that club, and it's great to see.
I know Bohemian supporters, Gareth, might have been a bit concerned and not just losing the game and Shamrock Rovers winning the title and all that kind of thing on Friday night, but it means as well now, I suppose, Bohemians might have been hoping that there was a bit more on the line when Shelburne take on Shamrock Rovers on October 10th. Does the fact that Rovers have wrapped up the title now, does it make Shelburne's job a bit easier in trying to beat them?
I don't think so. We've seen Shamrock Rovers. They're a professional outfit. Listen, I talked about the bench. The bench is full of star players. Maybe they'll get a run out. It's funny too, because Shells have got Rovers either side of European ties, and of course they have European ties as well, whereas Derry's second last game against Rovers, there's no European ties either side of it. So I don't think it increases Shells' chances of beating Shamrock Rovers, honestly. I think there'll be enough players there ready, fit, and the Shamrock Rovers team to prove a point. And they're all playing for places as well. I mean, you got to remember that these players want to play in the European games. I mean, Shamrock Rovers' record this year, whatever they're doing, is exceptional when it comes to injuries. Bar Trevor Clark, there's no one's been out for a long time. Whereas last year and the year before, they were having serious problems. So whatever they're doing right. You look at Nugent, McAniff, Matthews, Noonan, Kavanagh. I mean, McGovern hasn't even really got a look in. Maybe he'll get a start. They've got loads of players, and they will be fresh. They'll be hungry. They'll be at decent levels because they'll be training hard, trying to get into the team. So No, I can't see it being any easier, unfortunately, for the Shells players when that match. And Shells have got that's one of a few tough games coming the running.
Yeah, it's interesting for Bohemians, Finney, because you know since that big cup win against Colchester, Donny Carney, it's been pretty patchy form since then. They've drawn with Derry, lost to Drogheda, drew with Shells, then lost to Sligo Rovers, a win against Cork City. They expect that, a draw with Sligo Rovers then. Lost to Derry City, win against Waterford. Again, you'd expect that, and then losing to Shamrock Rovers. And now there's a 3-week break in between one league game to the next, which, listen, as an aside, I think that's ridiculous in a professional league. Coming to this stage of the season, a team having a 3-week break is absolutely ridiculous. And I think it's something the powers that be need to look at. But hey ho, would you be concerned about Bohemians now at this stage and claiming that top three, maybe even top four spot? Because I suppose a lot of people feel that either Rovers or Pats could win the cup and possibly finish in the top three as well.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. My suspicion is they'll finish in the top three, and that'll be job done for them, I think, won't it? That'll be positive. The form is up and down a little bit. As I said, it still feels like it's a difficult one. Like it feels like they haven't found the right balance in a couple of positions. I think if you ask the staff there what they needed to fix, you probably feel they need to fix the centre half position going into next season. And Parky, like Moran does really well, Flores does really well for you. Parky feels like that back four could certainly two or three players are needed into that to go up to the next level. But they have everything else going beyond that. It's just about is that I don't want to compare it to Liverpool struggles, but you know that balance, if you got that balance right, whether it's between could they have done with Adam McDonald. Could he have done what Adam McDonald's running power the other night against Rovers? You know, you feel like they've really hurt Rovers all season, and it was a little bit, they were excellent at different stages in the game, but it's just something is holding them back from putting teams to bed and scoring a few more goals. And it's just, I think that they're nearly there. And like so often, the final piece of the jigsaw in football is the hardest part, and they'd be scratching their heads a little bit. Feels like just defensively, they give away a little bit too many soft goals for their liking, and on paper, their attacking six is as good as anything in the league, but we're not really getting the benefits of that. Like, do you see two players getting 10, 15 goals plus for them? Not really, not yet. And we all think that James Taylor will do that, but we have to wait and see. So it's really positive. I think we all want a proper title race. We hope they can get those final pieces of jigsaw.
Yeah, just on that, Vinny and Steve-O, I think they're missing a six. I think defensively, any of the games that I watch, there's always the centre halves and the back four are always getting run at. If you watch the game the other night, and I just watched the highlights, how many times did Burke turn and he just drove at the centre backs? He scored one goal, obviously, in the first half. Then the second half, he got another one where he basically just carried the ball about 20 yards straight at the back four. The back four kept dropping and he had a shot and went over the bar. And it was the same against Derry. It was in the transitions. Every time the transitions, to me, Devoy is one of the best players in the league, no question. I think he's a better eight than he is a six. Defensively, does he put out enough fires? Whereas Healy and somebody like Winchester or even Alan Reynolds at his time, Stevie O'Donnell when he was playing, someone that just sit there and just protect the back four. I think that's what, if they could get someone like that, it would help defensively, and it also would give a structure for the other players just to go.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Steve-O, because it would be easy to poo-poo that and say, would you stop Devoy's being exceptional as a six? And maybe it is as simple as somebody alongside him that makes them, you know, a little bit more solid. But Devoy has been, like, if you're picking the team of the year, you'd argue Healy and Devoy are the two best sixes around. I know at Shells, McEnroy has done really well as well. So it is an interesting one. It's a little bit like there's a little bit of balance to be found in that midfield. I'm not sure they have it all sorted. I mean, Mickelson played in midfield as well, who you wonder in the rough and tumble of it, is he better or wide? So it's a little bit watch this space. But there are options off the bench. I mean, Connor Parsons has been very good off the bench recently as well. We still hope Colin Whelan comes back and you know, is at a high level. Hockey end of the centre half, looks a good player. He doesn't look like he's match fit for Air League yet. That's the problem with bringing in people midsummer. But I think he'll do really well if he's still there next year. So they're very close.
Yeah, it's like, and people have criticised Ocadina coming in, and again, and like you say there, he wasn't, or he isn't match fit, ready for a League of Ireland scene. Coming in at the stage he did is just so difficult. Hasn't had a pre-season with the club. He's still trying to find his way with his teammates and with the way the team plays. He won't see the best of him until next season. That is interesting what Garrett says, and maybe that is what Bowes are lacking, because it's essentially all those players that play in midfield for Bohemians are always looking forward. They're always looking to get on the ball and get a forward pass or else go on the run themselves. And they do not have, you know, a classic defensive midfielder in there who's ready to sweep up all the dirty balls. And listen, it's not like we haven't seen Graham Burke doing what he did. Like, that's just a golden rule in League of Ireland football. You don't let Graham Burke have 10 yards of space to run into, you know, about 25 or 30 yards and go.
No, but the best performance we've seen all season, Steve, was Bowles against Rovers and Dalymount. I think that was the best performance anybody has put in, and lucky enough to see almost every game. And obviously some of them are after the fact, so slightly different. But that was built on that sort of high energy, high intensity, but also then when you had the ball, the quality of Devoy and the quality of Clark, etc. And it, that night I felt like, wow, they got the balance right here. And they've had to come away from that a little bit, because the biggest criticism of, they need a centre-forward to go and put away the chances. And by putting centre-forward in, there's a little ripple effect, maybe slightly behind it. And it's a little bit like what Gareth's saying around the ripple effect of the Voyager 6, is that, yeah, it's brilliant and he looked excellent on the eye. But, and he can put out dangers as well at different stages. He's quite good at it. But it is a solid enough for certain times. It's a question. It's a question that only the staff there can ultimately find the answer to.
And I think going forward, Steve-O, they're as good as Shamrock Rovers. I think attacking-wise, if you look at the four or five players that they have going that way, I think they're as good. I touched on it before when we were talking about Shamrock Rovers. Shamrock Rovers' foundation was the goalkeeper, the three centre-halves who haven't changed in ages. And then it used to be Gary O'Neill, but now it's Healy. So those five players, they were the foundation. They allow the rest of the players to go. And I think Bowes just haven't done that. They've more gone and started with the foundation and the top end of the pitch, whereas they're going to try. And again, going and getting a six to do that, I mean, they're just not out there. You don't think Steve O'Donnell and Alan Reynolds knows that? It's just finding the players at the right money at the right time. I mean, Derry were very lucky with Winchester. I think had Winchester been at Derry City under Higgins the year before that, I think they'd go on and won trophies.
Well, speaking of Derry City, Gareth.
Oh,
huge,
sure, why not?
Huge.
He's dropped them in twice now at this stage. Jesus. Poor El Derry have to play Rovers when they're not in Europe. And if he had Winchester, Higgins would have won the league. What's next?
Which Rovers are you talking about, Vinny? Well, they are playing Sligo Rovers this weekend. Again, like, just what a tie, what a fixture to look forward to, because you've got Derry City, as we said earlier, second place, point clear Bohemians, and Sligo Rovers still needing points to put distance between themselves and that second from bottom place in the relegation playoff. Like, I know the pitch has talked about an awful lot. I was just interested to get your views, Gareth, on how it might change Sligo Rovers' approach, because we've seen them under John Russell. They are a team that plays on the front foot, attacking football. You've got brilliant attacking players, Owen Elding, Jad Hakiki, Will Fitzgerald. They're just oodles of talent. James McMahon is playing some brilliant stuff for them in midfield as well. Does he change his approach to this game because of the pitch, because of the surface, or does he just try and do what they've been doing over the last number of weeks?
So I'm going to tell you something now that I've been watching Sligo. I've kind of praised John Russell and his attacking and his mindset and the way he gets players playing the front foot. He's changed something in the last five games. They've only conceded two goals and they've kept three clean sheets. They are the informed team along with Shamrock Rovers in the last five games. Like, he has made a tweak to make them harder to score against and harder to beat, but he's kept that threat as well going forward. So we talk about balance all the time in this podcast. He looks to have that balance very nicely. And anytime they come to the Brandywell, I know that over the last two or three years, and John Russell's been unfortunate, a few players getting injured in the Brandywell because of the pitch. And I blame the pitch. Listen, I've played on the pitch. It's shocking. And hopefully Derry City will rectify it pretty quickly. Nothing you can do now. You just got to get on with it. So I think John Russell just keeps that kind of balance that he's got right now. And this will be a tough, tough game for Derry. I said last week's podcast, Derry have got the easier of the running. I think it's changed a little bit now. Sligo are flying. Waterford, when they go away next week, away will be a tough, tough game. Obviously, they've changed manager. There'll be a little bit of bounce there. And then they've obviously got Shamrock Rovers and Cork. So Sligo will become with loads of confidence. A couple of ex-players coming back as well. Kieran Harkin and McManus in that middle of the park. I put those two players into the reason that they've got three clean sheets in the last five and only conceded two goals. They're excellent. Really, really good. If you remember the goal, one of the goals, the couple of goals that they conceded have been good, good goals. Like, they're not giving up as many chances. And then, of course, they go and concede forward in the cup. But I think that was a serious mental, block. But in the league, they've been quite impressive.
There's another former Candy Stripe in that team as well, who I think has contributed a huge amount to what you're saying there as well, Gareth, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%. And he will be chomping at the bit.
Patrick McLean.
Yeah, and again, he's got goals as well, and young Gareth McElroy as well. Got young Gareth McElroy, played with the academy at Derry, was only allowed to go to Sligo because he was going to college down there. I tried to convince the club to sign him on a contract and loan him to Sligo. They didn't do it. It could bite them in the arse. So he'll be playing centre half. He played last week along with Patrick McLean. So it's brilliant. Some of the stories. And again, it's the derby now. It's a derby that Sligo consider a derby. Derry always consider Finn Harps a derby. But this is the one that they need to concentrate on because it's a huge match for both clubs.
Yeah, as a neutral, Vinny, it certainly gets the hairs on the back of the neck standing up.
Yeah, it could be anything. I mean, it's interesting. I chatted to someone yesterday about Derry. It's fascinating to watch what's happening at Derry in terms of where they're at, where they're not at. I say this because highly unlikely for personal, my own reasons, that I'll ever manage again. So this has no double meaning to it. It's probably the one club I'd love to be involved with, Derry City. There's something magical about it. And I think it'd be great for League of Ireland if Derry were to do something with this current group. And it sort of has to start now, as in, it's got to get European football. It has to be something that you can build on and build a bit of momentum into next season. And just get a little bit of consistency with this squad they have. And just build. We don't want to see another wholesale change of this Derry squad. Like, people look a hell of a good player. Will he be fit for the start of the season? And even not being overly fit, Tomon looked a hell of a good player. Duffy, Fleming looked a hell of a good player as well. They have it all. It looks like a magical club to be involved with if you're winning something to be around. It is that, it still has that sort of, I want a better word, Irishness to it, that sort of, you know, you'd enjoy a good night out in Derry with a trophy or a cup. It's crying out for that to happen up in the League of Ireland. Hope it does. I just feel like they've got to start now. And it can't be another unlucky season for Derry and finish fourth or fifth and just miss out in Europe and rebuild again. And just because there's money there, everything's all right. It has to happen within the club. And it feels like between now and the season, I just want them to get that European spot nailed down, add a little bit of consistency to their sort of squad makeup, just go from there and start winning trophies again. And yeah, it feels like it's time to go for Derry. This is, next few weeks and next few months are important for that club, I think.
Yeah, Gareth, because listen, as ever around League of Ireland clubs, there's a lot of rumours going around about things that are happening at Derry City, players who could be heading to other clubs, the players not happy with the manager's not tying up certain contracts that the supporters and the media around Derry feel that he should be tying up. Like, are you hearing anything? Is there rumblings in Derry City? Like, is Tiernan Lynch, or, you know, does he have the full support of the supporters and everybody around the city, do you feel?
Well, I mean, you've got to just look at the league position. Second in the league. I mean, if you had told me at the beginning of the year with Tiernan coming in late in the window that he was going to be second at this stage of the season, I would have said, are you sure? Because there was a lot of changeover, 14 players in. Don't get me wrong, a few of them left as well. It's massive overhaul. Funny, I'll tell you, when you're seeing that many players come in and out, even as a local player, a player's there and out now, you don't know what's going to happen. And the uncertainty is crucial. So having that uncertainty throughout the season, then in the window again just passed, it's tough job. So you cannot be disappointed. Yes, maybe, and this is just me personally, playing five at the back just doesn't suit the eye. As Vinny said, the club, the supporters, the Northwest, they have been blessed with talented players, taking players on, scoring loads of goals, and we're just not seeing enough of that. But that's, maybe he's just doing what he had. Dealing with what he has to deal with. Maybe we'll see that a different side of them next year. But if he finishes second, you can't complain with it, you know. Don't get me wrong. The other thing as well is off the pitch isn't exactly in a great position with Derry at the minute, outside of the football operations, which I know they're trying to sort out. So we'll see by then. I hate judging people, but we'll see at the end of the year. If they weren't to make Europe, it would be tough. And never mind Derry, we're talking Shells, Pats. Like, there's massive repercussions of not making European football next year for two teams. And then Drogheda as well. God forbid they would, after the disaster they went through this year, to not make Europe in the league would be devastating.
Yeah, it absolutely would. Vinny, we also had a change of manager during the week. Waterford will go into this game now against Drogheda United with their fourth manager, I think, of the season. That's including interim bosses. It is a shame it didn't work out for John Coleman. Really lovely gentleman, football man through and through. But was it a surprise really the way it went the way it did?
No, some will say it is because it's so late in the season. But I think that's the football industry. All they need is Matty Taylor's just to get one or two results, and it's being worth it. I mean, being a Premier Division club next year is so important to a club like Waterford. It's the breeding ground for, you know, so a certain amount of the players from Fleetwood, and you think of the investment that's come in from Fleetwood. So I think you can understand the decision. It's not a nice one. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you don't make a change, and my fear for this Waterford, and I spoke about over the last few weeks in the pod, was that if they end up in a playoff against Cove, the way they were going, for example, Cove, I'm saying if as the second best team, for want of a better word, in the first division, I would have had a real fear for them. Now I think with this change, they may even pick up a couple of points, and I think Galway would have preferred them not to make the change, and Sligo would have preferred them not to make the change. To Gareth's point about Derry, it would be more difficult. So feels like it's the right thing to do, unfortunately, for the current for the ex-manager. But they've got to get the house in order. They've got to get themselves sorted on the pitch. They've got to do a few things. But I think it's important. We're going to lose Cork out of the league, most likely, almost certainly. Don't want to lose Waterford as well and that part of the country. So I think it's important to get their act together. And it's a difficult couple of weeks, but I think they've appointed the right man, and I think it's a good decision what they've done, because he has experience of the league, experience of the squad, and he know how to get them over the line. I'd have a real fear now if it was Galway and Sligo with the change they've made. They may improve significantly over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, if you look, Steve, when he came in as interim in April, he had three unbelievable results. He beat Bows and Shells at home, and he beat Bows and Shells away, actually, and beat Derry at home. So they'll be looking for the same sort of reaction this team.
Yeah, they were brilliant that night at Dalymount Park. I remember it really well. And you would imagine he should be able to get grind out a couple of results that they need to keep their place. I agree with Vinny, you need a couple of strong Munster clubs in the top flight. FAI Cup, lads, we'll touch on this briefly for a moment. We might focus on it a bit more next week, as we will with Europe, because by the time this pod goes out, European games will be pretty close. So the FAI Cup first. Do we see any potential upsets in either of those ties? Of course, Kerry going away to Shamrock Rovers and Cork City hosting St. Pat's.
Evo, the amount of people are presuming it's the Pat's Rovers final are off. They're just off the charts. I think.
Why do you poo poo that so much, Vinny?
Well, it's almost definitely a Rovers final, right? Unfortunately for Kerry, and I've seen somewhere here nearly 1,000 tickets sold. It's brilliant. Hopefully that's the beginning of...
Yeah, they've got four or five sold-out supporters buses coming up from the Kingdom, which is brilliant. Brilliant to see.
Yeah, and hopefully it's the start of a bit more momentum in that club and added to the energy they already have. So it's highly likely Rovers in the final. Pat's down in Cork. I mean, that's a difficult one. If Pats were at home, I'd say it's a 70-30 game. It's closer to 50 than that now. It's still, that's a red hot favourite, don't get me wrong. But I tell you what, if Pats aren't at it, Pats don't do their business right, this young Cork side could cause them a lot of problems. They've played well recently. They've improved over time under the current staff there. They're not deserved a good bit of credit for it. I'd like to think, I know there's talk of it, a protest, etc. They'd have to make that as uncomfortable as possible for their old friend Stephen Kenny and the rest of his group, and make it really hostile. And that makes it a little bit closer than people think. So wouldn't shock me if that went to a replay or Pats went chasing that game because they conceded early. Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, it is mad what's going on at Turner's Cross in the build-up to this game. We've seen, we had him on Off the Ball. Well, the interviews went out on the Off the Ball socials yesterday. Seanie McGuire speaking to Rory O'Hagan down in the Rebel County, and they were talking about the protest. The supporters obviously not happy with the club's owner, Dermot Usher, expressing they're not happy with the way the club is being run. Dermot Usher obviously would have his own view on that, and he would totally reject what they're protesting against. It's not ideal going into what is arguably the biggest game of the club's for the club in the last decade, maybe. And like Seanie McGuire, as you'd expect, like, because look, I suppose he's got close ties with Dermot Usher, who brought him back to Cork City. He's not going to be saying too much against the club itself, and you can see his point of view as well, saying as well, look, you know, the supporters, we need you behind us to try and get us into the final. Now, to be fair to the supporters, I've seen a few supporters on social media saying, look, there's no concerns there, we will be right behind the team for the 90 minutes. It just seems to be a really strange situation for Cork City going into this match.
Yeah, and I know it's strange, and it's the ownership against the fans. I mean, the players have got to use it as a catalyst. I mean, if the angry fans turn up and they're passionate about the players and they want to protest against the club, then so be it. I mean, they're entitled to say what they want. Seanie spoke well, as you say. That's a difficult position he's put himself into, trying to talk and kind of mediate between the two. That's not his role. The players have got to concentrate on the game. And let me tell you something now. I know Galway won 2-1, but going by the highlights, it wasn't easy. And Cork, we talked about it before, about the manager Nash. Should he change, should he not? He's starting to get his ideas across now. Cork going forward aren't bad, and they will cause some Pats problems. This and Vinnie touched on it. Pats aren't playing well. Like, I can't remember a stage of this year where we've turned around and going, Pats have put 3 or 4 very good performances together. Not too sure why they're not playing well, considering the talent that they have. But I'm telling you now, Cork come out firing, press them, put some pressure on them. We know we all been at Turner's Cross when it's not a nice place to be when you're an away player, and it's hard to get result down there. So that's the one I'd be looking at. And listen, I know I like a good dream, but Kerry hold out for the first half. You just never know. You just never know. I mean, Shamrock Rovers, all the pressure's on them. It's a free hit. It's an enjoying free time for a player to go and try and express themselves. And you never know what will happen.
I'll come back to Kerry and Colin Healy in just a moment. Stephen Kenny, we cannot let this podcast pass without mentioning the fact that he will take charge of his 1,000th club game in League of Ireland football this weekend when he manages St. Pat's against Cork City. Like, in League of Ireland football, that kind of longevity is just absolutely incredible. And you guys know him well. And it's only right that we pay tribute to the man himself going into that game this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. What a man. One of the best. I mean, there's no question. You see the results, the way he holds himself, the way he works hard. I mean, he's an outlier. I mean, I've never come across anybody like him. I played under Pat Fenlon, who was an incredible manager. I had a lot of time for him and really enjoyed playing under him. But Stephen had something different. He was just so engrossed and so ruthlessly ambitious that it oozed through him and it oozed through his teams as well. And listen, I say their Pats aren't playing well. I'm pretty confident that he's going to get it right. I just expected him to get it right this season or before he has. So 1,000 games, unbelievable achievement. Himself and his family should be unbelievably proud.
Yeah, look, I suppose the season had gone to plan, really. We all, I don't know, did you guys? I certainly tipped Pats to be champions this season, and it hasn't gone like that.
No.
But don't worry, Vinny, I'll be back to you with one of my other predictions in a couple of weeks' time, hopefully. But anyway, more about that at the end of the season. No, look, listen, we can be critical of Stephen Kenny at the end of the season if things don't happen for Pats over the next couple of weeks. But just on the weekend that he does get that 1,000 game, like, I was actually reading some good quotes from him talking about when he's a 28-year-old taking over that Longford Town job and trying to convince players to play at the Flan Siro, Vinny. You know, it's incredible where he's come from and gone to.
Yeah, I was one of them players. Yeah. He talked me into it. Do you know what? Like, we walked into the ground and he said to me, genuinely said to me, and you have to remember what Frank Hare Park looked like back then, and it was certainly different. And there was a small Guinness shed that held about 100 people, and there was two hills either side the pitch. And he said to me, "We play European football here within the next 5 years." And we played European football in a fully seated stadium within 3 years. Now, when he made that comment, I thought there was something wrong with the fella, and he was right. We got to a cup final under him, and he moved on to Bowles and subsequently Derry, and he's had a brilliant career. I've spent a huge part of my career under Stephen. He's had a huge influence, not just on me in terms of football. Obviously, he got me my League of One career was a huge time with Longford Town, but also my coaching career, 7-8 seasons with him. I also worked with him as a match sort of analysis when he was up in Derry as well. So a huge amount of time with him, was probably involved with a huge percentage of them games at some stage with him. Incredible human being. I mean, I often use the word that Brian Kerr is the godfather of Irish football. Well, Stephen is still in the middle of it to be known as a godfather of Irish football, but he's certainly one of the biggest statures the game has produced in the last 20, 30 years, and there's been some greats over them years. Whether you think of Damien Richardson, Pat Dolan, Paul, you know, you think of Paul Doolan, Pat Fenlon, all greats in their own right. But Kenny has lasted the test of time, and he's gone beyond a lot of them people in terms of what he's done. So he's not my best mate at the moment, but he's still my big brother, and I always wish him well. I'd love to see him winning at least one more trophy before that time comes, but he's still a relatively young man. Mm. I think he will win more trophies. I can't wait for that day. I mightn't text him and say, "Well done," but he knows underneath it, I mean it. So he deserves huge credit for what he's done. And something that, sorry, I'm going on a little bit now, but something I should add to that is he's also dragged the standard of how we play, the fitness levels, and he's dragged standards up in his group, which ultimately rubbed off on other groups within the league. And there's a reason why our league is so big and strong at the moment. Is yes, it's, you know, a lot of the full-time teams are doing this, and this, but that came from people like Stephen in particular, who dragged the standards of everything he was involved with up, and the knock-on effect other people had to match that to compete with him. And I don't know what the right word is. I mean, legends and all that stuff are too easily bandied out, but he's an icon of Irish football. Mm-hmm. Absolutely is. And I think it wouldn't shock me that he gets to 1500 very, you know, and easily get to 1500, which will be remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think very well put there, Vinny. From one young manager to a slightly younger manager, Colin Healy, before we just move on quickly to the European games. It just felt like a brilliant appointment by Kerry when they brought Colin Healy in. Gareth, an absolute gent. He's been through the absolute mill over the last year or two. We know what the details are there. It's been well publicised over the last few months or so. So for him himself personally, it's great to see him having some success with Kerry. I could see Kerry in the Premier Division under Colin Healy at some stage over the next couple of years. What a story that would be if we could get Kerry into the top flight of Irish football, having just come into the League of Ireland only a couple of years ago. But here they are, FAI Cup semi-final. And while, you know, the club obviously has been well run, there's a lot of people in the background there doing brilliant stuff, you got a great set of players there, but Colin Healy is, you know, he takes a huge amount of the credit for getting them this far.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked there about standards, and that's what it's all about. Colin Healy's been there, done that. He will bring everything that he learned through his playing career, through his coaching career, to that club, and such a young club as well. To be able to do that and get someone like that in, it's a massive, massive coup. And if they tie him down and they give him the resources that he needs and the support he needs, God knows what he can achieve. I mean, we talked there about Stephen and Longford. Healy's now bringing a load of fans, and this is the next generation of fans to Tala, hopefully in their thousands. These could be the building blocks of something really special, because you do need the community. I don't care how much money you have when you come into a club. I don't care who you put in as managers. The smart managers get the community behind the club, either by engaging with the community or producing memorable nights for the community and watching the jersey. So this could be a massive step on it. And we know what Colin can bring. I mean, he's obviously done amazing work since he's been in there, which is a short period of time, along with everyone off the field. So God knows what the next 3 or 4 years. And there's a lot of teams down around the first division that are getting their act together as well, on and off the pitch in management. So it's getting nice and competitive. Then you've got the third tier coming in. So Kerry, will be, put it this way, they'll be looking up the ways rather than down the ways, especially at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yourself, Annie, how far do you think Healy can take this Kerry project? You know, as well, it's Gareth hits on something kind of interesting there as well, about just sort of, it's almost a bit like Stephen Kenny going into Dundalk or up to Derry City, the way he tapped into that kind of local, gave that kind of local community feel and got the whole local area behind the club. Do you feel that's something maybe Colin Healy could do, because he is so well liked, because he is such a popular figure, and they're sports mad in Kerry? And you see an awful lot of the either current or former Kerry Gaelic footballers getting behind the soccer club as well, down there. Like, there just seems to be a real good buzz around the club and something that has a lot of potential in it.
Yeah, the short answer to that, unfortunately, is we don't know. My fear is that the sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, but the restrictions that Kerry might hold them back achieving what he's potentially capable of doing. I mean, you look at the Premier Division now, and you look how to step into it is so difficult, and stay in it is actually more difficult for him. So you wonder, is there the infrastructure and the ability for Kerry to compete and actually go and win a league first division title? Of course, anyone can overachieve and do that. We hope it does, but I just wonder, is it structurally big enough, to me, the sort of expectations Colin has of the group? And that would be the challenge. But remarkable job done from everybody there. And I hope it gives hope to the Monaghan of the world, to the sort of Mayo or whoever else feels they can get involved in our league and have representation throughout the whole country.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go, lads, well, look, we will be talking so much over the next few weeks about Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers on their European adventures, which get underway this week. We will be covering the Shelburne game at home to Hacken tomorrow night. It is myself and yourself, Vinny, isn't it? You're alongside me for that game, Tala Stadium.
The Tala 2,
indeed.
Yep.
Listen, like, this has to be one of the games that Shelburne target as a win in the group phase. Hacken, you know, they're 10th in the Swedish top flight currently. The season hasn't gone too well for them. Of course, a bit like ourselves, they've got a summer league there. Now, that said, in recent games, they're only kind of losing to the sides around the top two or three or four. And they're scoring a lot of goals as well. So, like, you know, on the face of you're kind of thinking, look, the 10th team in Sweden, Shell should be targeting this game as a win and some valuable prize money. But you've also got, you know, they are scoring a lot of goals, and that could be a real threat to Shelburne tomorrow night at Tala Stadium.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, it's a great game to start with, because I think the momentum, the buzz, especially from the players, you will get that extra 3 or 4% from the club, considering all they achieved last year. They'll be buzzing to get on the pitch. Obviously, going to Tala, I think they would have a better chance had it been in Tolka, just with the surroundings, the rough and tumble of Tolka. I don't think they would have enjoyed it as much as they're going to enjoy the nice stadium and the pitch in Tala. But yeah, you've got to be going as let's try and get off to a good result, even if it's a draw. I mean, I think a draw wouldn't be a terrible result, but if you can go and get a victory against Hacken, it would be an unbelievable start, and it would set them up as well and take the pressure off them for the rest of the campaign, you know. But at home especially, and they've been to Tala so many times now, I mean, I don't see that being an issue, you know. But I think it'll be nice for Hacken to come and play in that nice pitch. But let's hope Shells do the business.
Yeah, they certainly, like, they're just Joey O'Brien, really. And it was great to see, actually, Damien Duff, his first public comments over the weekend. He was asked about, I suppose, any kind of regrets over leaving the club and not having the opportunity to be managing Shells in the group phase of this competition. And look, he's got no regrets. He's still there, I suppose, happy with his decision. But, you know, giving great credit to Joey O'Brien. And it is, like, it was just mad the way Joey O'Brien kind of had to take over. He went through the emotion of losing his pal, Damien Duff, at the club, and he did try and convince him to stay and that kind of thing. So to do the work that he's done, and I'd nearly argue, Vinny, they're a more solid defensive team since Joey O'Brien has taken the reins himself.
Yeah, I think Joey brought them a little bit back to what they were last season to a point. A little bit more solid, particularly in that sort of three in midfield. So they've done a really good job. Look, I think this is a step. Once you go up these levels, I think we'll be surprised how good Häcken are. A lot of teams don't travel really well, so your home games are really important. They will probably play a 4-5-1 formation, so they won't be afraid to sit in. Giles could have a bit of the ball, but I'd be very worried about the counter-attacking pace they have in the wide area. So, look, it's, as Gareth said, even if it was just a draw, it's still another 125 grand. It's not bad, is it? I think it's thereabouts in terms of the prize money. It's great. I think Pallett is a plus for the Shells players. Yes, they'd love to be in their own dressing room. But when you experience these group stage of European football, you'll see the electronic advertising boards, the sort of, it feels like a bigger match. It's very hard to explain unless you're there and around the UEFA officials, the referees. They've experienced some of that, obviously, in there. But they were against, two of them games were against Linfield. This will feel a little bit different. This is proper European football, a little bit of music at the start. All great things to experience as a player. So huge opportunity for them. And let's hope they put on a really strong performance. Don't be shocked the two Irish sides are going to have it difficult because of the standard. They haven't had the luck of the draw, maybe, that they could have had.
Yeah. Did you think the Talca Park moving to Tallaght Stadium could have a bearing on it at all, Gareth? Or do you think just the Shells players are so familiar with Tallaght Stadium? Of course, Joey O'Brien played there and the whole lot. So would it be a big deal, do you think, at all?
No, it won't be a big deal to the players. I think they would have preferred, and all the whole of Shelburne would have preferred to play it in Tolka, players included, and the finance people as well. But no, Tala, what a stadium. I mean, the pitch is immaculate. As Vinny said, the whole experience of Tala is what we want for every club in Ireland. But no, they'll see it, they'll embrace it, they've been there enough times. But I think Häcken will enjoy it as well. I think they'll enjoy the surrounding, they'll feel like a big pitch. Hopefully we get a good crowd, especially a lot of the neutrals going over to the game as well. But I don't think it's going to be a hindrance to them at all. I think they'll enjoy it.
Why wouldn't Häcken enjoy Tallaght, for God's sake? It's no, and stuff.
No, that's Tallaght,
of course.
I'm talking about Tallaght itself, though. It's like paradise. No,
that's what I said. I said they're going to enjoy it too. They wouldn't enjoy it.
No, I know. But my point is, it's one of the best areas in the country, to be fair to that. Yeah, me and Steve are proper Tallaght men.
Bigger population in Limerick City, I think, doesn't it? As far as I know, yeah.
You can bring them to the square and they love it.
Oh, without a doubt. Shopping
all down the square.
Yeah, personal dressers. Gareth, can I let you in on another little secret about Vinnie Perth, actually?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you know Vinnie Perth is a closet rugby union fan?
What?
Yeah, he loves the egg chasing. And he was absolutely delighted when have we just lost him there? I cannot believe it. Just something I'm about to tell you.
Kicked him out.
I think he's gone off an embarrassment there because I revealed his love for the game of rugby. Well, that was meant to segue me beautifully into. Are you still there, Gareth? It was meant to segue me beautifully.
I don't like rugby union.
In case you're watching, if you're not watching, folks, if you're just listening, we've just lost Vinnie Perth there on our monitors. We hope to get him back again. And but look, Johnny Sexton. Johnny Sexton, who is finding his way in the world of coaching. He was over at Brentford there a couple of weeks ago, I understand, with Keith Andrews, of course, just picking up whatever tips and that kind of thing, and looking at training and that kind of stuff at Brentford. And it appears he's been with Shamrock Rovers as well the last week. And why not, Gareth? Why not? Because Shamrock Rovers is a top professional outfit. And you know, a man who is, and we've seen this kind of cross-pollination with coaches before. They'll, you know, rugby coaches will go and get something out of football. GAA guys will go get something out of rugby, so on. So it's good to see, I suppose, for the League of Ireland as well, Gareth.
Yeah, 100%. Coaches, I think they should bring it even further. I think the FEA have got to do something with the RFU and the GAA and go and find out what they're doing, because it's obviously working well. But no, Johnny Sexton, I mean, what an opportunity to go into a Premier League team and pick a few brains and looking at how they set up their standard operating procedures, tactics, anything that he can pick up to improve his own coaching ability. Unbelievable, 100%. And then Rovers as well. What a compliment that is. I mean, a legend of the rugby game in Ireland, going over and speaking to the players even and the coaching staff, all positive, love it.
Yeah, Vinny, I revealed you as a closet rugby fan and you shut down your computer. That's no way to, come on then.
Yeah, I've met Secco a few times before and Drico and the lads. I actually opened my eyes, went into Leinster and spent a day or two with them. Stuart Lancaster, brilliant person as well, absolutely outstanding. And as is all of the staff there, Felipe Contepalme is probably a bigger football fan than a soccer fan than a rugby fan almost, you know. So, and Leo Cullen is just brilliant with his time when people are open-minded to go into that group. So that is like high performance, and you can see why they would be asking questions of different clubs. So there has been history that there would be connections between Rovers, people in the hierarchy, Rovers and Leinster. So it's only a matter of time. But it is still just about the second best game in the world.
Absolutely. Well, listen, lads, I once, would you believe, Vinny, met Felipe Contepalme at a Kraftwerk gig many, many years ago. I know you wouldn't have heard them. They were a German band from the 70s, pioneered electronic music, and ended up sitting there because I covered Leinster at the time, and Felipe recognised us. We ended up sitting down and having a couple of beers with himself and his wife at the Kraftwerk gig. There was another band actually known around that time called Roxy Music, Gareth. They had a song called Love is the Drug. And I'm thinking that Vinny's high on love at the moment, because he wants Shamrock Rovers to win the Cup. He wants Derry City to become qualifying for Europe. He wants Pats to win the Cup. He wants Bowes to do that. It's incredible. The man is just oozing love. It's like he came from Woodstock in 1969. It's all peace and love with Vinny coming to the end of the season. What's going on?
That man's misinterpreted. He's a lover. He's not a hater. I said that for years about Vinny.
Well, listen, Vinny, we all love you too. And we'll be back for more Vinny Pert love and a Gareth McLean analysis on next week's podcast. And thank you for listening.
The League of Ireland pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be Drink Aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.